From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. Well, big football weekend coming up. Okay, we're not going to be a part of it, but most of us are going to be watching the game anyway. And all through the season, you have to say one of the things that people are acutely aware of is the injuries. The list of players who are off for a week or 2 weeks and sometimes out for the whole season. We even just lost one of our basketball greats, Rajon Rondo, this week to a major injury. Now, Harvard University, the Harvard Medical School, and the NFL's Players Association is teaming up. The NFL is actually coming up with $100 million to research, treat, and maybe help prevent some of these health problems plaguing NFL players. Dr. Lee Nadler joins me by phone. He's the Dean of Clinical and Translational Research at Harvard Medical School and the director of the NFL study. Welcome, Dr. Nadler.
Thank you.
How did this come about?
Well, I want to correct one thing. It's not the NFL. It's the NFL Players Association.
Yeah, I said that, NFL Players Association.
In 2011, the players themselves, when they signed their contract at the time of the lockout, took $100 million of their own salaries and bonuses and laid it out for their own health. So it comes from within, from very dedicated players who are both, you know, the active players, but the 7 or 8,000, you know, former players who are very concerned about their own health.
You know, I'm sure you saw this over the last couple of days. One of the Baltimore Ravens, who were in the Super Bowl this weekend, Bernard Pollack, he's one of the big, fierce hitters in the NFL. He says 30 years from now, he doesn't even think the NFL will be in existence. He says he could be wrong. He says it's just his opinion, but he thinks the way direction they're going, you know, that the players are getting so big and so powerful that nothing that you can really do to prevent this kind of thing unless you ban certain types of hits and certain types of plays.
So clearly I can't answer that question because the rules and regulations come from the league. What I can tell you is that's not our opinion. Our opinion was that the injuries and the abnormalities, the loss of quality of life to the players depends on a number of things. And the first is who's at risk. And you, one of my colleagues, Ross Afont from the Spalding Rehab in Mass General, saw two players recently. Both played the same position. Both played the same number of years. One was totally healthy, and the other one was severely compromised with physical abnormalities and with some psychological mental problems. It is clearly not automatic. So we're interested in, as scientists, that who's at risk? Can we significantly mitigate risk? Can we prevent the problems? And then, of course, if the problems arise, can we treat them, diagnose them early, and reverse them? So, you know, the way we've actually set up this large trial of 1,000 players is to try to find out who are the 100 healthiest, irrespective of position, balancing position, and the 100 most ill. And once you have those two spectra, begin to understand what is going to be the risk factors.
So I realize you're just getting going with this, but I mean, are you assuming it's going to be broken down into positions that people play?
I'm sure it's going to be broken down into positions people play. Clearly, some players have sustained much more injury, especially over their lives. You know, I don't worry a lot about the kickers, you could imagine.
Right.
But I do worry about a lot of the other players. I mean, we all watched Tom Brady get knocked down an awful lot lately.
Well, he tore his ACL, too. I mean, he got wiped out a couple of years ago. So
absolutely.
Clearly the quarterback is not. But the quarterbacks are usually protected by more than one person. So it's really not them, too. It's the front line guys and the runners. And the
people who run back the ball. You know, these are decisions for the league. These are decisions for them to make. But we are going to, in fact, try to mitigate that. You know,
I'm curious how you think you can do that, though. I mean, is your study going to actually come out and make recommendations to the Players Association? How could you mitigate this?
Well, you know, how can you mitigate it? There are many things that you can do. For example, players go back into play, maybe at the wrong time. We need to be able to identify precisely what is the right time to go in and not play. We can't tell them that, but we can actually provide data. We can actually try to improve injuries. We can try to treat concussions earlier and with much better technologies. I think you can mitigate. I think we all agree that we see, for example, one of our investigators, she has very, very good evidence now that there might be a method to treat ACLs, the injury that Robert Griffin III had, the one that Tom Brady had, the one that Rajon Rondo has right now, in such a way that it would grow back healthy with no loss of cartilage and more rapidly.
Without the surgery? Without the surgery?
With a different type of surgery. A surgery that would allow the ACL to regrow. These are things that already people are doing. We think that they're taking too long, and they need to be brought forward faster. And I think by working in the way we're going to work across teams and across all of our institutions, we usually don't work that way. We think we can make that happen.
Talking to Dr. Lee Nadler, he's the director of the NFL Players Association Harvard study, designed to look at how they can mitigate injuries to players and heal them more quickly. I'm interested to get your take on something, because there's theories in some spectrums that the new equipment, the better equipment, the face masks, the helmets that give you, you know, more bounce protection, have actually made the game more dangerous because people feel like they are more protected and therefore they take more risk, or they hit people harder, they use their heads more than they used to. I was talking to Derek Sanderson, the great NHL hockey player, the other day, played for the Bruins. He said, you know, I didn't want my kids to play hockey because I didn't want them to have to wear helmets, because we used to hold our heads up. Now hockey players hold their heads down.
We've heard the exact same thing. I think that's a decision for the league and the players' union to make. No one can argue about that. I've heard the same decision. If they went back to the leather helmets, they wouldn't throw their heads forward. But that's not our decision. What our decision is can we work, and we have some people that we're working with in Canada in two separate places that think that the helmets are not optimally made, that one could reduce the impact and the sheer impact. But as you've said, those decisions will be made over time. Certainly the press, certainly the president of the United States are making comments about the well-being of this sport. And I think the NFLPA is wise to bring real scientists, real engineers into the sport now to see what is the best we can do.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see whether the NFL is receptive to what the NFL Players Association and Harvard comes up with, because in the end, they're going to have to be the ones to implement whatever findings you discover.
I think, you know, that's the interaction between the Players Association and the NFL. I think what we can do is we can bring an impartial group of scientists. We're bringing ethicists. The Harvard Law School is working with us. We can bring fair, honest, and scientifically based information to those discussions rather than, rumor and innuendo. It's a little bit like the desire of the National Rifle Association not to study guns because the information would be a difficult. We need real information, which is well done, fair, and honest, so that people can make the correct decision.
I mean, you'd think it would be in the best interest of the NFL. After all, there's, I think, even just this season, well, or I don't know exactly, but there's at least 100 concussion-related lawsuits that have been filed against the league. Thousands of players claiming that the league didn't do enough to protect them from these repeat brain injuries. There's been so much focus on, what happens to the brains of these players as time goes on. We had that awful thing happen with Junior Seau, where now the study of his brain showed that he had a condition, some Alzheimer's-like condition, and whatever it was, that he might not have been thinking straight. So you'd think it would be in the best interest of the NFL.
You know, we're hoping. I mean, that's why Harvard came to this. We're hoping that an independent, highly creditable institution studying 1,000 players, picking out the 100 healthiest and the 100 least healthiest, and providing that information, that reasonable, fair decisions would be made. I think that's the only thing that we can hope. This is a very important sport. It's America's, right now, most popular sport. Mm-hmm. It's very lucrative, and it's very much in your news right now. There's no question about it. We can't go through a day without reading about something about a sports injury. You know, one of the other reasons why Harvard really embraced this is it's not simply our professional athletes. There are millions of young men who play football in college, high school, junior high school, and in the South in public school, full suited up in stadiums. We also have so many other contact sports. And this will really leverage the information across all sports. We think the health of athletes, the health of our children are very, very important. And I think the NFLPA absolutely agrees with us. That's why they made this sacrifice of their own money.
How long do you think this study will take?
Well, I think that, you know, it's set up for 10 years. It's broken into two pieces. They challenge us very hard in writing this study. This was very hard to get. It was very competitive. And they said to us, what can you do now? What can you do right now? Mm. And so we identified the types of work going on right now in concentric heart problems, in new ways of diagnosing and treating concussions, to actually fast forward. We're going to develop iPhone apps immediately to provide all players and all athletes the right information of how to get the right care. Our Harvard Law School colleagues are going to go on listening to us throughout the United States right now. And we're going to begin to reach out to the former players to form this 100-player group of players to be studied. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to go to the NFLPA, find athletes, prominent trusted athletes in localities who are actually going to become our recruiters to actually understand what we're doing, talk to the players. We even understand there's maybe 1,000 or 2,000 players who are so harmed by this sport that they're no longer known to the NFLPA. Mm. I think there's a responsibility to these people, but also to our children to get this right.
All right. Dr. Lee Nandler, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lee Nandler is director of the NFLPA Harvard Study and Dean for Clinical and Translational Research at Harvard Medical School. Coming up, Kara Miller brings you a conversation about Silicon Valley. I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio.